Today's daf in Masechet Shkalim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Gimel. And we had just learned in the Mishnah that on the 15th day of Adar, mitaknim et hadrachim, ve'at harechovot, ve'at mikvot hamayim, ve'osim kol tzorchei rabim. So, it says over there in the Mishnah that those things that are generally damaged over the course of the winter, we begin their tikkun on the 15th of Adar, in preparation for Pesach. So, repairing the roads are obviously going to be part of the needs also of the Aliyah L'Regel. The Mikvot HaMayim are because there's oftentimes the mikvahs get filled with mud, and therefore they're going to be Chosar Ashir during the winter time. So we have to make sure that for Tyres, everything is in perfect shape. And then it makes this broad statement of Osim Kol Tzorchei HaRabim, without defining what exactly that means. Now, the Tzorchei HaRabim, according to the Gra, this entire thing is taken out, and these are not the Tzorchei HaRabim. However, the Rambam quotes this Mishnah precisely, and because of that, we should read it and just accept that this is the din and that there may be some other issues that got thrown in. But the Rambam brings all of the issues that we have over here in the Pirush HaMishnayos. And because of that, it's perfectly okay to read this as the definition of Tzorchei HaRabim. The Gra leaves out this entire part and goes on to the next piece, which is the question that we have from the Mishnah in Mayat Katan. Elu hein Tzorchei HaRabim. So the Tzorchei HaRabim means that there needs to be a time in which Beis Din catches up on anything that was not completed. So that what we're understanding is that the concept of Chadesh Ve'aveh, that the Torah wants us to start the year afresh, means that we do not allow things to get pushed behind once it gets to Nisan. And therefore you have to get everything done during the maybe mad rush at the last few weeks of the year from after Purim. So that would include making sure that any cases that in Beis Din have been left undone, and as we know, the horrific situation of the courts today is simply boggles the imagination. You can literally wait years before a case comes to court. You have to finish up all of the Dinei Momonos. You have to finish up all Dinei Nefashos, all Dinei Makos. We have to be able to make sure that Arachin, Charomim, Hekdeshes, all of them are settled. And if there's any question, then we paskin on those Dinim. If there's a Seita, it's now the time to do Hashkayat HaSota. It's time to prepare the Paradume if one is necessary. If there was an Egla Arufa that had not yet been taken care of because it was difficult to travel during the winter, or Fim Egla Arufa, Rotsin Eved Ivri, we also do the hole through the ear if there's an Eved Ivri that wants to stay on. Mita'arina ta mitzora, umefarkina ta minal mi'al hamayim, ve'en machzirinoto. Now this, so again, this is very confusing because many of these halachas have to do with the issues of cholamoid. And therefore, the next piece, which the Gra understands to be a question on our Mishnah, because of the dinim of Chol HaMoed, he believes that this piece is a confusion from the Mishnah's dinim about Chol HaMoed. And therefore, he leaves out this entire piece. As I said, the Rambam, Rav Avadya Mibar Tanura, the Mefarshei HaMishnah have this as part of the Chelek of the Mishnah. And it could be that both of them are correct. Even this piece, Befarkin Etaminaomi Al Gabi Amayim, which Bepashta sounds like, are you allowed to break open a lock or something, is understood as one of the dinim that applies to the end of the winter. What does it mean? It means that the special Borot HaRabim, and these were water reservoirs, which were made for people, the public, to be able to use during the dry months, they were locked up to prevent people from using them during the winter while they were filling with rain. Because there's plenty of other sources of water, and we want to make sure that the reservoirs for the public are filled for the time that people are going to be coming up during the Aliyah L'Regel. So therefore, we break open those locks. Obviously, it doesn't mean literally breaking. I mean, it means we open those locks that Beis Din was responsible for, and we do not put them back on until all the way at the end of the summer when it starts to rain again. Now, in the Mishnah Me'at Katan, there seems to be a contradiction to our Mishnah. Mashkin Beit HaShlachin u'mitzaynin al HaKvarot. So over here, it says in that Mishnah that we're allowed to water a field that is dependent on artificial watering. That's a Beit HaShlachin. And it says over there, Osim Tzorchei HaRabim, during Chol HaMoed. That's a special halacha, that since people are available to work during Chol HaMoed, so when it comes to the Tzorchei HaRabim, even those things that are not done by a Yachid, for the public, they're done. And it says over there, one of those things are Mitzaynin al HaKvarot. Now, the problem is, if it's Chol HaMoed, and that means that it's only 2 weeks after we already did the Tziyun HaKvarot in Adar. Why, if it's Pesach, are we going out to be Mitzaynin al HaKvarot again? This doesn't make much sense. And over there, it seems to be talking about all Chol HaMoed, including Chol HaMoed Pesach. Says the Gemara, I don't understand what kind of weird question that is. The din of Mitzaynin al HaKvarot, as we've already explained, is a logistical halacha. Now, are you trying to tell me that you've never been in a position where after the 15th of Adar, that it doesn't pour or snow? I mean, this happens very often. So obviously it's talking about Shiarat Shetef Shagishai Mushtafa. It's all very nice that they tried to fix all of this stuff. And then there was this massive storm, washed away all of the freshly poured lime that had been used to be Mitzaynin al HaKvarot, as we'll see. And because of that, they had to do it again. I understand what the problem is. It's very simple. Okay, but then the Mishnah in Me'at Katan says, and they also are Yotzin Afala Kilayim. How are you going to explain that? The Kilayim they just did 2 weeks before during Adar. Why are they being Yotzin Afala Kilayim? Look for Yotzumi Adar. Man, it's the same idea. You're asking questions that are dependent on logistics. Not so. We already explained that the reason that we had to understand the Mishnah is referring to Adar Sheni is because the plants would have been too small for us to be able to detect in Adar Rishon. So you've never been in a year where, because of the adjustment between the solar and lunar year, it happens to be that the year is late? And sometimes the plants are not going to be visible in the 15th of Adar. What do you want? And therefore, they have to do it during Chol HaMoed. So, Shaita Shana Fila, the year was a late year in terms of the lunar year. Even in terms of the solar year, it happens that there are changes in weather patterns. So, they weren't able to easily detect the Kilayim to remove. They had to wait until Chol HaMoed. What's the big deal? Anyway, you're making this big fuss about making sure that all of the kvarim have a marker. Where is the mekor of this halacha of our being so makbid on the idea of having a marked grape? Because, I mean, it's the mashmot over here is that we're assuming that this is something that has to do with the chi of diraisa. The truth is that it's really the Gemara says beferish is the rabbanan. So, okay, it could be that we're looking only for an esmachta, which is why, indeed, we go to Divrei Kabbalah instead of Divrei Teret. So Rav Brechia and Rav Yaakov, Bar Bat Yaakov, we had, remember back in Erevin, that Bar Bat Yaakov was because his father, Rav Yaakov's father, was not a person whose name we wanted to mention. B'shem Rav Chunya Dibrat Chavrin. Now, there is obviously a mess up over here in the Misera, so we got confused between the town of Brat Chavrin, the idea of Beit Chavrin, the Brat and Bat Yaakov could have gotten confused with the Brat Chavrin. So somebody got confused. Because of this, our Girsa or the actual Masera that we're recording is a bit confused. So Rebrecha and Reb Yaakov, who is the Bar Bat Yaakov, quoted in the name of Reb Chunya from the town of Brat Chavrin, which is a very, very big coincidence. And Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, he said this over the name of Rav Chunya of Brat Chavrin. And Reb Chiske, Reb Uziel, Bered Reb Chunya from Beit Chavrim, said it over the name of Reb Chunya from Beit Chavrim. But anyway, whatever it is that, whoever it was that actually said it and wherever they came from, the Makor was from the Torah, indeed. V'tameita meyikra. That means that the Metzera has to be able, or is b'chuyev, to warn. He has to be able to extend his tuma outwards so that people will not come to be mitame. Kidei shetei ha-tum'a kor'ala chavafia. It's as if the mekor of tuma, in this case it's a human, so he can talk. So the human who can talk has to cry out, tame, tame. But what this implies is that tuma is always meant to announce its presence. So if it can't talk, then you have to talk for it. And the way that you talk for it, either you put in some kind of solenoid, which is triggered by your presence and says, do not approach tuma before you, or you actually put down a marker, which serves as a sign that there's tuma ahead of you. So the tuma has to be koralacha befia and say to you, brosh, stay out, brosh, stay out. So that means that I am mechuyev to make a note. That's part of the way I have to deal with tuma. Rabbi La, b'shem Shmuel bar Nachman, he says it's a preferish apostle, but it's not a pasuk in the Torah. It's a pasuk midivrei Kabbalah from Yechezkel. And it says over there that after Milchemet Gog u'Magog, there will be so many casualties among the Goyim that invaded Eretz Yisrael that it will take an entire year to clean out the country from all of the human remains. So it says over there that they will have special people that will be going from place to place. The Avru HaOvrim Ba'aretz, and during the course of the year, wherever they see a human bone, V'ra'a Etzem Adam, Uvana Etzlo Tziyun. They build a marker at Tziyun next to the bone. Now, the reason they build a marker, not simply bury it, is because, remember, all of the Hamon Gog had to be buried in this vast pit that was called Ge Hamon Gog. And that was a simon of the conclusion of the Milchemes Gog u'Magog, and the chesed that Yisrael did for them, that at least they found a makom kfura. They want to be metame Eretz Yisrael with these remains. So lemaisa, the point over there, of course, of building the Tzion, was not to warn people away from the Etzem. The reason that they built the Tzion was in order to alert the people that would be coming with the trucks to gather the remains, to pick up whatever remains were located here and transfer them to Ge Hamon Gog. So it's not really much of a raya in terms of what they were doing. But the bottom line is that it's a remez that there's an inyan of something called Tziyun. A Tziyun is a Tziyun on Tuma. Now, it says over there, V'ra'u Etzem Adam. So from there we see that Mitzaynin Al Ha'atzamot. So that would mean that even though the mace has decomposed, nonetheless, we will be mitzayin on bones. Now, halacha l'maisa, we're not mitzayin on bones, unless those bones are sufficient to be mitami be'ohel. But otherwise, if we only have, let's say, an etzem kisa'ora, which is mitami b'maga, we will certainly not be mitzayin, which is another problem in using this as the limud. Because when it uses the word vera'a etzem adam, the meaning of etzem over here would have to be a rova atzomais, which a rova atzomais indeed is metame ba'ohel. We don't translate this remez that we find by Mechemes Gog u'Magog to say that wherever somebody could become tame b'maga, Richie, why don't you mute yourself? We don't translate it into a chiev of tzion b'maga, because those things are just simply buried, and nobody's going to come to be nichshal in tuma. Nichshal b'tuma is where there may be an actual mace under the surface that is going to be metame b'oel. That we put a tzion from. So this would have to be referring to rovat samais. Then when it says adam, it means mikan shemitzainin ala shidra v'ala hagugolet. So the halacha is that a complete spine, which has all of its vertebrae, or a complete skull, even though it's only one bone, it's not rovat samas, is also mitame. That's where we have the homachlokas, what is considered to be Rova Atzomas, what is considered to be a complete Adam vis-a-vis this halacha. So that's what we're calling Adam. That was the machlokas we had about Shammai and Hillel, what's considered to be Chisaron b'Shidra. All of that is part of these halachas that we had in Masechet Ohalot. Then it says Uvana. Uvana means that you have to be mitzayin agabe even kavua. Now this is also a bit misleading. We do not have to be mitzayin agabe even kavua. Absolutely not. The normal din of tzion kvoros is to pour seed over the ground where there is a mace. What it means over here is that if you insist on using whitewashed rocks to make this simen for the kever, and I'm sure you've all seen this, that is done, then those rocks have to be firmly implanted in the ground. Because if they're not firmly implanted in the ground, they can roll to somewhere else. And if they roll to somewhere else, we're going to end up causing tuma to areas of Eretz Yisrael which are not tame, and that is a big no-no. We're never marbe tuma. So therefore, if you're going to put it on the ground, fine, so put it directly on the ground. If you're going to put it on the rock, make sure that it's an even kavua. Because imomerat agabe even telusha, if you're going to think that you're doing a good thing by putting it on a rolling stone, then as you know, a rolling stone actually gathers no moss. And because of that, it is not going to be a good tzion for a maid. Af hi olechet umetame b'mokam acher. So it's going to go and be metame other places. So therefore, never use a rolling stone. Etz lo. Now, when it says in the next word in the pasuk, bana etz lo tzion. Etz lo means do not put the marker on top of the tuma. Put it in a place which is tahar. Because if you put it in a place which is tame, by the time the person who's approaching notices it, he's already on top of it. Okay, then when it says etzlo, we don't want the person to stumble onto the area and suddenly note, oh no, I'm standing on a white marker. You want the white marker to be in front of the tumah, all around it, that means. And that way, even if he's standing on it, oh, whew, I stopped just in time, so I didn't become tummy. And then when it says tziyun, bana etzlo tziyun, mikan litziyun, this is the mukher that we have, that there has to be something that indicates that it's there. And it says in a braita tani, umatsa even achat mitzuyenet. So if you found a single stone, so now what are you going to make of it? A single stone doesn't help me very much because I don't know whether this is on the east of the grave, the north of the grave, the south of the grave. What good is it? Oh, what it must be, says the Braita, is that somebody did it wrong. And he put the stone on top of the grave. So it must be, even though that is not the correct way to handle it, because he marked it wrong, because we just learned you have to put up a mukum taira. In this case, it seems quite clear that ha-ma'ahil aleha tameh. If you stepped on that, then you would become tameh, because obviously the person who did it didn't know what he was doing, and he marked the actual grave, because otherwise how could it only be in one place? Now, because I have to admit that ani omer metaya natun tachteha. I mean, how else does this make sense? But what if there were two stones? These two stones are all white with lime, and there's this area between the two stones, which is the right size for a grave. So then I will assume that it was done indeed wrongly, in the sense that I should have put it all around, but he didn't. Instead, what he did was he marked the head and the foot of the grave. So therefore, hama'ahil aleihem tahar. There we have the right to assume that there is no grave underneath them directly. And if you walk between the two markers, then you'd be in trouble, because beinayim would be tamei. Im hayachoresh benatayim. But if we see that people were plowing between the two, that means that the locals must have known that there were no graves between the two. And then on the contrary, because they never would have plowed on purpose an area that was a grave. And therefore, we now know that these two markers are two separate markers, and that each one of them, harei hen kichidiot, we treat them like individual markers, and Bineihem Tahar, and Al Gabeim, which should say, is Tameh. Now, we have another brisa that says, Ein mitzaynin al habasar. Do not make a marker for basar min hamet, because zayit basar min hamet is metameh ba'ohel. But even so, if that's all that was buried there, do not mark it. Why? Because shema nitakel habasar. Because, listen, basar decomposes very rapidly. If you put a marker there, you're basically going to be bringing people to believe that there is real tumah under there, and maybe that tumah was only there for a day or two. So because of that, you're going to be mefish tumah for no reason. And therefore, do not make a marker in that place. Rav Yusta bar Shunim asked Kamei Rav Imana, but what do you mean don't mark it? So then it'll turn out that somebody during that time that it was tummy is going to be metame tires lemafrei. I mean, I understand that you may be saving years of mistaken tuma, but I mean, what about that first 2 weeks in which maybe a lot of stuff is going to become tummy? Amar lei, so Ramana said to Rav Yusta, nu, mutav shiit kalkalubo b'shisha'ah v'al yit kalkalubo la'olam. Look, the bottom line is that most people will be aware of the fact that there was a recent tragedy in this place and that we buried Basar HaMes here. It's not all that likely that people that know nothing about it are going to walk by and be metame things. And if that happens, look, in terms of our responsibility for the concept of Tuma Korah or the concept of Bana Le'atzion, it's more important for us to make sure that there is less Tuma rather than that we should be Marba Tuma forever by people losing track of the fact that we marked this not as a grave, but as basar that would have been decayed within a week or two. It makes no sense to mark it. And this brings us now to our kapitan, halacha beit. Remember in the Yerushalmi, every Mishnah is defined as the next halacha that we will discuss. So to introduce halacha beit, it's still a Mishnah. It's still a Mishnah. It's just the Gemara calls that Mishnah halacha because that's what we're about to engage in. Okay, now we talked about sending out the people on the 15th after we already gave the warning on the 1st for Kilayim. What do these people do if the guy has not taken away his Kilayim and they find Kilayim there? Rabbi Yehuda, well, Berishonah, you okrin, umashachin lefneyan. What they used to do in the good old days when people used to care about life, they would find the Kilayim, take the Kilayim, rip it out, and throw it down in public, which would tremendously embarrass the farmer that he needed to have the Shluchei Bezdin come and show everybody that he had Kilayim in his field. But then, Misharabo Avrei Avera, then people said, wow, this is great free labor. Wonderful. I got something to be embarrassed about. It's not only free labor, it's free food for my cattle. So they, Dafka left the Kilayim there. Please go right ahead, gentlemen. As if somebody is embarrassed anymore by Kilayim. Forget about what they're not embarrassed by. So Misharobu Ovrei Avira, Hayu Okrinu Mashlichin Ledrachim. So they would be okra to throw it into the road so that at least the guy wouldn't get free food for his cattle, because it would get all run over by all of the people coming by. So then they would throw it in the road. At the end, they finally decided nothing is being very useful. So they would go out and be mafkir the entire field. Okay, so now you said that Rabbi Yehuda said this, but we didn't explain what the story was. And the Braita gives us a little bit of more insight. They were tremendously happy. First of all, they're getting free weeding, right? So, for free. And secondly, they were giving them the food. Because now they had all of this stuff, and they would then go ahead and feed it to their animals. So they were very happy. So Misharabu Ovrei Avera, they decided, all right, we're not going to give them any free animal food. We'll throw it into the street to be run over. So Yomashlichin al Adrachim. Okay, but people were still happy. All right, so I don't have free animal food, but I have free weaning. So then itkinu shumav kirin kola sadekulai. Now, how do you know that Beis Din has the right to be mafkir an entire sada? I mean, that seems draconian. What gives the Chachamim the right to ignore fundamental rights to property? Minayin shehefker beit din hefker. Well, remember that when they came back to Eretz Yisrael and they found that, as this was in the time of Ezra, when they found that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were together with Ezra, that they were married to many non-Jewish wives. It was very difficult to get them to separate from their wives. So they made this massive gathering in Yerushalayim, and they decided that anybody who doesn't come within 3 days to Yerushalayim is going to have everything that he owns taken away. So it says over there, Kol asher lo yavo l'shloshet hayamim katzat asarim v'azekenim, Yehoram kol rechusho, everything that he owns will be put into cheirim, and v'hu yibadel mikal ha'golan, he will be put into cheirim personally, and not be part of the tzibur. It's part of the dinim of nidui and cheirim. So obviously, they must have seen that to be a kabbalah as part of what it was that Beis Din is capable of doing. The question is whether, when they do that, is that also considered to be putter from Meiser? Now, this is a different issue. Why is it a different issue? So some of the Mefarshim say that it's a different issue because it could be that since we have a machlokas about whether hefker only to aniyim is considered to be hefker, then the question over here is that the reason that this is important is because Meiser is defined in the Torah to be given to the Levi ki ein lo chelek, because he does not have a chelek imach, as it says in the Torah, right? So now the question is, what about if he does have a chelek v'nachala imach? How would he have a chelek v'nachala imach if you made it hefker? So from there we learn that if you made something totally hefker, so then that would mean that you don't have to take off Meiser to the Levi, because the Levi has just as much right to it as anybody else. So in this case, the Shaila is, if Beis Din was mafkir, did they in fact, because notice how this hefker works. Their mafkir is sada. What does the guy do when their mafkir is sada? He can't just go back and take his sada back, right? Can anybody come along and take the sada? Only if they go ahead and they take responsibility on all of the kalayim in the sada. So in the case where there used to be mafkir the sada, they did not oikir the kalayim. They only were mafkir the sada. In order to be able to claim the sada back, or to be able to claim the sada from the original owner, you would first have to be oikir the kalayim. Now, obviously, the first guy who was going to do that would be the guy himself. He's not going to let his sada be hefker. So the problem is that if they were mafkir the sada, that would mean that when he gets it back, he does not have to take off meiser. Because the din is, if you take off meiser, if you are kena from the hefker, you're putter from meiser. That would mean that in the new takana, they're also making the guy happy. Great. Beis Din was mafkir my field. So at least now I save 10% of my crop, right? So then the Shaila is, did Beis Din actually be mafkered in this fashion to take off the rights of the Levi to the chelek in it? Now, this is a very brilliant analysis, and it sounds good, but I don't think it's true. Because as we're going to see, the riyas that we bring are inappropriate to the Shaila if this is a Shaila. Therefore, the question seems to be, whether the din of hefker that Beis Din gives is a real din of hefker that indeed provides everyone a chelek to it in the normal way that hefker works, or it's a special halacha that is not the full equivalent of a real hefker, because it's not a true din in bilus. It's a din in accessibility to someone else's thing. And therefore, we're not sure whether that means that it's truly a kena min hefker. So Rabbi Yonatan Berei de Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Acha, he said, I'll bring you a clear raya from this brisa. It says, Ein ma'abrim et ha'shana lo ba'shvi'it v'lo b'metzoe shvi'it v'im ibruha harezu mu'uberet. Now, we'll talk about in a minute why it is we should not be taking making an extra month. During Shemitah, it's obvious why we don't want an extra month, because then we're making it another month of not being able to grow your crops. That's a disaster. But why we would not want to make a longer year Metzoy Shvius, that's not clear. But in any event, it does say over here that if Bezdin is going to go ahead and make the year inappropriately an extra month, then it will still be Shemitah. Now, isn't it true, says Rabbi Yonasan, that that extra month that the Bezdin is Mosif is going to be Potter from Meiser, just like all of the months of Shemitah? So you see from here that when the Rabbanan make a halacha, that that halacha applies also to Meiser, and its din of Hefker is a din that affects Meiser. Now, you can see from here that obviously it has nothing to do with the approach that we took until now, because if you make it Shemitah, then it is Chelek V'Nachala to the Levi. So it wouldn't have anything to do. It would logistically belong to the Levian in this case, just like all of Shemitah. Now, I understand Necha Shvius. I understand why Shvius, I don't want to have an extra month. But why do I care if I have an extra month of Metzoy Shvius? Omer Rav Ovun, again, so Bon is the equivalent of Rav Ovun in the Bavli. Shelo l'rabot b'Yisr Chodash, because it's going to take you a month longer for the grain to grow. And therefore, on the 16th of what would have been Nisan, it's only now the 16th of Adar, and we won't be able to harvest our grain. Rabbi Zeira b'shem Rabbi Elazar says, this is ridiculous. But first, let's see where it works, okay? First of all, he says, what you said about not making Shvius an extra month, that is only true when it was usher to import vegetables and grain into Eretz Yisrael. And the reason that they had made that isser was because of the pieces of dirt from Eretz Ha'amim that would oftentimes be attached to the vegetables when they were imported. So in order to avoid the Tumas Eretz Ha'amim, they ushered it. It became a desperate need because of hunger in Eretz Yisrael, and Rebbe ended up rescinding the Isser of importation. So once Rebbe was matir to import things into Eretz Yisrael, Mishiita Rebbe Lahavi Yerek Bichutz La'aretz La'aretz, we don't care whether it's Shemitah, whether it's any other year. Okay, Tani, so now Ein Me'abri. So now I understand why during the Shemitah, why is the same thing true for Metzoy Shvius, that also it doesn't apply? Amar Rabbi Mana, because when we say that we don't have an extra month, Adadat Amra, that's only in the old days before the climate crisis. So that was Barishona, Shayu Hashanim Ketikunam. Things used to grow normally. Achshav She'ena Hashanim Ketikunam. Nowadays, we can have all types of weird climate effects, and it often happens that anyway, when the 16th comes around, the grain is not ready for harvesting. So, Akshav, he motzai shmita, he shar shnei shavua. Doesn't matter whether we're talking about the Metzoy Shvius or any other year, because anyway, you can't count on the new grain. Now, Tony, we have a riot to this, because it says, shal beis Ram Gamliel, ibru ba Metzoy Shvius miyat. Halacha lamaisa, they made a new, a leap year. They announced it on the first day after Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year. Omer Rabbi Avon. So let me point out to you that this proof is absolutely nutty. In min hadav, that's what you're going to bring a raya to. That Hefker Bezdin is Hefker, even the Gabi Meiser? You got to be crazy. Let that Shema min HaKlum. Can't bring that proof from here. Because this halach has nothing to do with Hefker Bezdin Hefker. This has to do with the D'oraisa of Shmoras Chodesh HaAviv. Shmoras Chodesh Aviv means make sure that the Chidush of the Aviv should come during the Chidush of the month, which means make certain that the equinox is going to come at this time while the moon is still b'chidushay. And therefore, that is a D'oraisa to add that extra month. And that has nothing to do with Hefker Bezdin Hefker. That's ridiculous. Okay, Sivahaida Omarda. So where do we see, in fact, the halacha that hefker bezdin hefker is pater from meiser? That we learn out from peya. And therefore, we have now a very happy Moshe Forman, one of his favorite mishnayos. Gadish shalo lukat tachtav. If you have a pile that they piled up the grain and they had not allowed people to get the leket that had fallen, the aniyim didn't take the leket. So now what are you going to do? Now you don't know what part is leket that was there from before you poured your grain, and now you poured the grain. The halacha over there is any grain that's in contact with the earth, even though we understand that obviously the ground wasn't covered with grain. There might have been like 4 or 5 pieces. The halacha is that all of the grain is given to the poor. And how do you do that? Obviously through hefker bezdin hefker. We're giving away the grain to the poor. So v'amar Rabbi Ami pointed out, b'shem Rish Lakish, that this has got to be going according to Beit Shammai. Because according to Beit Shammai, he holds that if you're mafkir something only to aniyim, it has a real din of hefker. But according to Beit Hillel, he holds hefker only laniyim is not considered to be hefker. It has to be mufkir lashirim as well. So how in the world could we be making this hefker? They would end up being machshil all of these aniyim. So then what are you going to say? Aniyim ochlinu ma'asrin. You're going to rely on the aniyim that they should take off ma'asrin. They think that it's real leket. So it must be that this is al-libe de Beit Shammai. And Rabbi Yossi said to him, Shamanu shu poter mi ma'asr divrei hakol mishum knasa. We were mekabel that the Chachomim made this considered to be poter mi ma'asr even al-libe de Beit Hillel, because of a knas, which means that they can utilize hefker bezdin hefker, even if it's only hefker la'aniyim. And they can use the koyach of hefker bezdin hefker to go beyond the definition of hefker beit hillel. So from there you see clearly that hefker bezdin hefker is hefker legabe meiser. Perfect. Beautiful. Rich, come on.
Yeah.
Okay, getting back now to shkalim. So, when do we actually collect the shkalim? So the shulchanot were the banks, the money changers, they would set up all around. This is a machlokas, remember, whether Medina versus Migdash is the country as a whole versus Yerushalayim, which is the way the Rambam learns, or the way everybody else learns that the Medina is Yerushalayim and the Migdash is the Migdash. Anyway, so they would set up the money changing so that everybody would know it's time to bring the shkalim. Be'esrim v'chamishan, on the 25th, they actually set up in the Beis HaMikdash itself, because remember, they already had to take the korbanos and make sure that those korbanos were mevukar from mumim, because they only had 4 days. That was the 29th, and every other samuch L'Nisan is 29 days, so they had 4 days, that's the 25th, and at that point they needed to worry about purchasing the new carbonus, so they wanted to make everybody aware of the fact that, look, these are the animals we're going to be needing to pay for. So Mishi Yashvu B'Migdash, once it was the 25th, they already started sending out the cops to collect things from the homes, and they would be Mamashkin, at Mimamashkinim, Levim, Yisraelim, Gerim, Avodim Meshuchrarim, who have a complete din of Chiyav D'Oraisa. They would not be Mamashkin women, they would not be Mamashkin Avodim, and they would not be Mamashkin Ketanim. Now, not necessarily because the Shkolim are considered to be a mitzvah saseh shazman gorma, because as we learned, it's a machlokas whether this is really a din in the Zman, or whether it's just a commemorative, but because it says Beferish in the Pasuk, Yitain ish kofer nafsho. So in the original shkolim, it mentions ish, ish velo isha. Chol katan, sheitchil aviv lishkol al yado. If a father started paying for his child who is a minor, as we'll see, means anyone under the age of 20. It does not mean a minor who's literally a katan. So a katan where the father had begun paying for him, Shuv eino posek, he cannot stop. Now, to machlokas rishonim, whether this means that bezdin will be also mimashkein. From the Rambam, it seems clear, no, we will not be mimashkein, but you are not allowed to stop. We don't mashkein as a kohanim, because of Darkei Sholem. These Kohanim are very tough people, as we've already seen from our own Kohanim here, and they fight to the bitter end, and they believe that they are Potter, as we'll see. Omer Rebbe Yehuda, Heid ben Buchri beYavne. This all started with Barnea. So back in Yavne, ben Buchri gave an edus that kol kohen sheshokel eino chote. If a kohen gives the machtes hashekel, he's not doing anything wrong. He certainly is not mechuyev to give it, but if he gives it, we assume that he meant that the money should be given over to the tzibur, and he's not going to cause any problems by keeping private ownership on the korbanos that are brought with that money. Amalo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to ben Buchri, not to Rabbi Yehuda, who certainly was not at the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, not true. Ela kohen she'eino shokel chote. Any kohen who does not pay the machzor hashekel, he is a chote. All of this stuff came from a misrepresentation that the kohanim are dorshim mikra zelatzma. Since it says, and I'm sure you've just learned this pasuk in preparation for the Kriyas HaTorah that is coming up on Shabbos, it says, kol minchat kohen kalil tihyeh lo teachel. So since the Eimer and the Shtei HaLechem and the Lechem HaPanim are all going to be purchased with which money? The money of the Shkalim. If we end up giving Shkalim, so then you're not allowed to eat from the Omer, the Shtei HaLechem, and the Lechem HaPanim. So we're going to mess things up. So how could we be Chayev? Heich ne'echalim, how would they be eaten? Must be since the Torah told us to eat it, that the Kohanim don't give money to it. That must be the point. Okay. Ein memashkenim et haktanim. Mashma that we do ask the ktanim to pay. How do we ask ktanim to pay since when are children supposed to be paying and we're just not memashken them? Says the Gemara, no. What we're talking about over here, we're talking about over here where he's really a gadol. If he's mamash a katan, im lo hevish tei sa'arot, then of course he doesn't bring at all. And lemashkein ein memashkenim, even if he was maybe shtei sa'arot, ach yehi ben esrim. That's the way, that's the correct girsa. So if he's 20 years old and then he's included in the chiyav of mi ben esrim shana v'mala, then will be memashkein. If he's less than 20 years old, but he's a gadol, then we will ask him. Keni matnita, and indeed this is the brayta, ein memashkenin et hakohanim, not because they're such tough people mipnei darkei sholem, but ein memashkenin et hakohanim mipnei derech hakavod. Since there is a chiyuv to be mechabed the kohanim, it's inappropriate, because it says v'kidashto. It's inappropriate to treat kohanim like avaryanim who need to have the hotza'a lepoal come into their homes and take away their TV sets for the shekel. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Hayin ben Buchri, Omer Rabbi Ruchya, Taim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And this is another one of the most amazing. We've seen, remember, the word ze as a reference again and again and again to the Yud Bei Shvatim. We gave a whole shir on this year. That since it says ze yitnu kol over ala pikudim, that means all Yud Bei Shvatim, because ze is Begematria Yud Beis. Shnei Masar Shvatim yitnu. And that includes Shevet Levi. And we'll see that in reality, Ben Buchri was not only talking about Kohanim, he was talking about Levi for a deeper reason than the one that he just mentions about the Kohanim. Reb Tavi b'shema Reb Amnuna say, kach meshivim chachomim l'Reb Yehuda, the chachomim who back Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, they said to Reb Yehuda, who apparently understood Ben Buchri to be correct, because he uses a lashon of Hayid, how do you explain the fact that Echatas Yochid, the Chamesh Chatot HaMetot, dies, and the same din of Achatas Tzibur does not die. That means that there's a fundamental difference between Chatas HaYochid and Chatas HaTzibur. But that extends to anything that belongs to a Yochid and anything that belongs to a Tzibur. Since the Tzibur purchased the Omer and the Shtei HaLechem and the Lechem HaPonim, the fact that the Kohen happened to give money to it doesn't change anything. It's still a Korban Tzibur, and therefore it is given the dinim of a Korban Tzibur. The halach of a Minchas Kohen lo yeachil does not apply to a Minchas Kohen of a Tzibur. So it's irrelevant. The whole thing is stupid. So the same thing is true over here. Minchas HaYochid, you're right, of a Kohen is Kreva Kolil. Minchas HaTzibur is not Kreva Kolil. Makes very great sense. Wait a minute, guys. You're not thinking straight. Vikasha. Meshivina Adam Davar Sheino Modebo. You're yelling at Rabbi Yehuda that there's an obvious difference. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that even a Chatas Tzibur is Mesa. So you're preaching to the wrong choir, that's for sure. The Tanan, it says, Beferish in the Mishnah and Yuma, Shein Chatas Tzibur Mesa, and Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Mesa. Tomus. So it's pretty silly to ask Rabbi Yehuda this. Anyway, Vuhu Motivlan. Now he is going to answer us. Excuse me, Zulo Nidvat Yachidi. I mean, the fact is that what you're doing over here is this: it's not considered to be a Nidvas Yachid if he is not being Meisrit. Of course, it's a Yachid. You can't turn it into a Tzibur carbon if he doesn't want it to be. The Inon Motivin Lay, and we told him absolutely. You cannot maintain a new halacha and say, well, if you're going to be mamashkin me on something I don't own, I want to maintain my ownership on it. That's ridiculous. Of course he has to pay. And if you're being mechayivim to pay, it becomes part of the shkolim. The shkolim are defined as a nidvat tzibur. I don't give a hang what you're saying. So that's the whole point. And what is the real deepest mucker for the machlokas between Ben Bukhri and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is understanding the words kol ha'over halapikudim. That's the machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya say the meaning of kol ha'over halapikudim is a reference to kol da'avar b'yamsuf. Anyone who went through the yamsuf, which was obviously everybody, all 12 shvatim went through the yamsuf. Therefore, they have to give. Besides that, there's the pikudim. Vachrona Amar called over al pikudaya. Only those who went past the pikudim that are mentioned in the counting, which bedavka was not done on Shevet Levi. Because remember the whole issue that by Shevet Levi, Moshe Rabbeinu said, how am I going to find out? Remember, they're counted from the age of Shloshim Yoim. How am I going to find out? And as Rashi brings over there, you come to the door and a basko will come out and we'll say how many are there. So that's not called over ala pikudim. So then that means that Shevet Levi was never over ala pikudim, and therefore they were never mechuyim. From here we see that indeed the din of Ben Bukhri was a din on Shevet Levi entirely. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan was explaining Zeh as Yud Beis Shvatim, because otherwise what does it have to do with it? Yud Beis Shvatim is Shevet Levi, not including the Kohanim. Fine. So therefore, man, Yama called Avra B'yama Yitain. If the idea is anyone who went through the Yamsuf, that's a riot to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, to include Kohen Velevi. Man, the Omar, called the Oval Pikudaya Yitain, that's a riot to Ben Bukhri.